Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to the book of John. John chapter 1, we're continuing our study on John the Baptist. This is part 16. John chapter 1, and we've read most of these verses before. John chapter 1, verse 10. We're studying John the Baptist, but John's message was, hey, look at Jesus Christ. And so that's what we've been doing. In verse 6 it says, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. But in verse 10 through 18, and we've read most of this before, it says of Jesus Christ, he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came into his own, the Jews, and his own received him not. And we preached on that. But verse 12, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Skipping to verse 14, the word was made flesh. In other words, Christ came to the earth and dwelt as a man. He dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And John bare witness of him and cried, saying, this was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness we have all received in grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man hath seen God at any time, but the only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. That's John's message. Hey, look at Christ. And hey, look at all the wonderful things that God has done for us. But let's pray. Heavenly Father, help us to understand your word. Help us to get it. Help us to see Christ through the Word of God, the Bible, as we preach it today. In Jesus' name, amen. Luke chapter 8. Pretty much most of the chapter, verse 1 through 10, and then I read from Isaiah, and verse 11 through 21. It's a long passage, but it tells of the wonders and the glory of the kingdom of God, and asks the question, well, God's done all of that. I mean, John 3:16, he sent his only begotten Son to hang on a cross and die for us. Only thing we have to do is believe on him, and we can have everlasting life. But what are we going to do? God has done his part. How do we respond? If you've been in church any length of time, you've heard this passage, or one like it. I want to take my time and go through the passage just to see what we can see. But it's the parable of the sower. And that starts in verse 5, I guess. And it came to pass afterward that he went through every city and village, preaching and showing the glad tidings of good news, or the gospel of the kingdom of God. And the 12 apostles were with him. And it says in verse 2, in addition to the 12 apostles, there were certain women which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities. Mary Magdalene, out of whom went 7 devils. Jesus cast 7 demon spirits out of Mary Magdalene. She was healed and delivered. Her life was changed. Her life was changed. And Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others, it says, which ministered or served him out of their substance. You see, it's right to support your pastor, the man of God that preaches the Word of God to you every Sunday. Support the pastor, support his ministry. If you call him at 4 o'clock in the morning and said, "Hey, I'm at the hospital, please come," he puts his pants on and gets out there. And he labors, trying to study, to have something on Sunday morning. Pray for your pastor. Open your wallet and put in the bucket. Take care of your pastor. We have the example of these women that were in the company. However they did it, if they took in wash or whatever they did, whatever money they got, they, out of that income, they took care of Christ. If he needed to eat, he needed new tennis shoes, whatever the case, they took care of him. The famous passage in Malachi about bringing your tithes into the storehouse, that there would be meat or substance in God's house. It's important that we take care of those that minister to us. But it says in verse 4 that when much people were gathered together and were come unto him out of every city, he spake by a parable, by a story. You know, we're familiar, I guess, with Aesop's fables. A fable is a story, and it's many of them have a moral. You know, the moral of the story is such and so. And that's good. I guess those are parables. But Jesus also spoke by parables. But his parable, his story, wasn't a fable. But it always had a spiritual explanation. And Jesus often did this. He spoke by telling a story. And in just a minute, we'll talk about it. But he tells a story for everyone to hear. And maybe some get it, and maybe some don't. Maybe some are interested to know, "Hey, I want to hear more." But he tells these stories often. And then to his disciples, he would give the interpretation, the explanation, the spiritual application, if you will, of the story. But it says in verse 5, his story goes, a sower went out to sow seed. In other words, a farmer. He planted vegetables, or he planted wheat, or he planted whatever. And nowadays the farmers, They get a big John Deere combine and big fields and whatever, and it's all mechanized. And when they harvest, again, it's all mechanized. And all in one pass, the grain or whatever is harvested, cut down, then it's threshed, the machine knocks the kernels loose, and then it ends up in the bin, which may be a truck on the side or something. It's all mechanized today. But honestly, all the machinery and technology we have really hasn't improved on anything. You stick the seed in the ground, you water it, and then at some point when it's ready or ripe, you cut it down and you somehow separate the kernel or the fruit or whatever it is and get rid of the stalk. You don't want that. You're not going to eat that. And then if, for instance, it's grain, the grain is ground, turned into flour, and then turned into bread. It's no different, though we have all kind of technology. But this sower, and I guess he had a bag full of seed, and it says he went out into the field, and he grabbed the bag of seeds or whatever, and he kind of threw them out. And it says that some of this seed fell by the wayside, or in the ditch, or on the sidewalk, or wherever. And it was trodden down, people walked on it, destroyed it, whatever. And it says the birds came, and they ate it up, the seed that fell by the wayside. But some fell upon a rock. And as soon as it was sprung up, I mean, it sprouted and got roots and whatever and poked out. And hey, I'm a little plant. I'm gonna grow. But it withered away because it didn't have any moisture. And in verse 7, some that the man cast fell among thorns or in the weeds or whatever. And the thorns or the weeds or whatever it was, they grew up too with the seed, with the little plant. And the little plant was choked. And it didn't go very far. It may have withered or died or whatever. But there were just too many weeds and it couldn't grow. But the fourth case was that the seed fell on good ground, tilled soil, maybe fertilized or whatever the case, but it sprang up and it grew and it bore fruit 100-fold. Man had a handful of seed and one little seed went and flew over there and it grew into whatever it was, tomato plant or whatever, but there was 100 tomatoes or whatever, from one seed. That's good. That's productive. We want that. Or, to use another word, that plant was fruitful. And then Jesus said, "He that has ears, let him hear." I told a good little story. That's great. Hope you liked it, but I hope that it got into your heart. If you have ears, open them and listen, because there's a message here. And in verse 9 and 10, his disciples asked him, "Hey, what's that story mean? What might this parable be?" And he said, "Unto you is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, you apostles, disciples, whatever. But to others, all they get is the story, the parable, that seeing, they might not see, and hearing, they might not understand." And I've preached this before. I could read Isaiah chapter 6. The sower is throwing his seed out. He's expecting a harvest. But Jesus said, if you're my disciple, if you want to live for me, you'll see great things in the Bible. But to those that don't want to follow me, couldn't care less about going to church, think the Bible is just some book full of stories but nothing to it or whatever. He said those people, they'll hear the story, but it won't make any sense to them. And again, I preached this before. We went through Isaiah chapter 6. It's a hard message. But God reserves heaven for those that want it. And my question, and the question of this sermon is, do you want what God has to offer? Fine, you can get saved, and that's great, and I'm happy that you would go to heaven. But there's so much more you can get out of the book. And the more you look and the more you read it, the more you study it and ask, hey, what does that verse over here mean or whatever? The more you want to know, the more you'll be given. But in verse 11, Jesus explains what the parable means. He said the seed that was in the bag that the guy reached into and got a handful and kind of threw it out, the seed is the Word of God. The seed is the things contained in the Bible. We understand that the Bible is from heaven. That God told Moses and David and Paul and Matthew and whoever wrote part of the Bible, God told them what to say. The Bible is from heaven. And I can quote Hebrews that the Word of God is quick and powerful, alive and powerful. It's not just a book, but it'll get down into your heart and into your soul and have an effect. It's a good little story. Guy was throwing seed out, but it's much more than just a story. It'll change your life. But he says the meaning is this. The seed is the Word of God. And he said in verse 12, those by the wayside or standing on the sidewalk, they're the ones that hear, oh, that crazy preacher, he's preaching again. I heard, that's fine, I don't need that. Then the devil comes and takes away the Word of God out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. Because the devil, the thief cometh not, but to kill, to steal, and to destroy. But Jesus came that we might have life and an abundance of heaven in our heart. We have an enemy, the devil. And the devil doesn't want the preaching of the Word of God because he knows it saves. He knows that it'll change lives. The devil knows that a drug addict can be set free. He knows that the guy or girl that parties every night and twice on Saturday and Sunday or whatever, he knows that if they hear the preaching of the Word, they'll stop doing that and start living right. So the devil steals the Word out of people's hearts and tells them all sorts of lies to get them to discount what the book says. But Jesus said that those that are on the rock, the seed fell on the rock and it started to sprout up, but it just died right away. He said that those seeds are like those that hear the word of God and receive it with joy. A sinner hears and he begins to believe, and there's joy in his heart, and there's the promise of deliverance and whatever else. But it says that there's no root. There's just not a place for him to grow. Maybe he doesn't find a good church, or maybe he didn't find any church, or maybe, I don't know, but he believes, and it brings joy to his heart, but he just doesn't have any root. And for a while, he'll believe, and then as it gets rough, or as temptation comes, the book says, he'll fall away. But those that fell among thorns are they which they've heard, and there's the joy, and they go forth, they try to live the Christian life, they try to attend church or whatever, but they end up choked with the cares and the pleasures and the riches and the things of this life. Life is hard. There's no question about that. I mean, I don't know your situation, but it's either you're a young parent and every time you turn around, you got to run to school for this and run to the doctor for that, and I got to get new shoes, and it's just, it wears us down. And that's what life does. But life chokes the young Christian and he falls away. And they don't bring any fruit to perfection. You know, the point of seed, and I understand that people plant gardens, flower gardens, and the point of a flower garden is, hey, look at my roses, or whatever. But the point of a farmer planting a seed, it may look nice, but at the end, he wants a harvest. He expects to be able to eat of the fruit that grows from that plant, or to sell it, or whatever. But this one that the cares of this world choke his Christian walk, and he doesn't bring any fruit. There's supposed to be fruit in a Christian's life. There's the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, whatever. There's also the fruit of, hey, I've managed to bring somebody to church with me, and they heard the word of God, and they got saved too. Hallelujah. Fruit. But Jesus said the last case, the fourth case, is the seed that fell on good ground. And he says that those, they have an honest and good heart. They heard the word of God, and there was joy in their heart when they received it. And then they keep it. They follow it. Oh, the Bible says I ought to stop doing that on Saturday night. Well, okay, I'm going to obey and I'm going to stop. They heard the word of God. They kept it. And they brought forth fruit with patience. Yeah, everybody has the cares of this world, I understand, but these guys stuck with it. And over the months, the years, the decades, as they live the Christian life, they see fruit. Maybe they were angry, rebellious, just lived a horrible life, but got saved and began to live like Christ. They acted as though they knew the Lord. Some people you can just tell, hey, he knows God. He does the right things. He says the right things. He quotes the book. He knows it. And a disciple, one that does what we're saying, hears the word of God, keeps it, and over time bears fruit. A disciple will make God the Father proud. You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus Christ in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net. That's JoeyKelly.net. And click on the ministry homepage or on the radio link. Or if you like, you can write me at 1208 Phocis Street. That's F-O-C-I-S Street, Metairie, Louisiana, 7005. And until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly, encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.